Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. So I'm a girl dad. I have two daughters, Grace, who's 19 years old, Reese, who's almost 17. People have asked me before, like, hey, do you wish you had a son? And I'm like, no, I do not wish I had a son. God knew what he was doing when he gave me girls, because I'm fairly certain if I had any sons, I would scar them so deeply that they'd have to fresh start me someday. Little girls are so precious. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. Everything they do is just so cute. Little boys are idiots. And I want to like Spartan kick them right through a wall. Now, I don't have sons, but I do have nephews. One of my nephews, his name is Mitch Mieske. He's sitting right here, down here. So Mitch has been a part of Relevant since he was, you know, just a little guy. He's almost 18. Yeah, almost about ready to turn 18. Me and Mitch have a great relationship now. But when he was little, I mean, I could have just killed that kid. And actually, one Halloween, we went trick-or-treating, and you know, when your kids are little, you go walk around with them and go trick-or-treating, and Mitch so happened to be with us on that Halloween as we were going trick-or-treating, and Mitch was doing this thing. Every time after he went to a door, he ran in front of all the other kids, sprinted down the driveway, sprinted down the sidewalk to the next house. And not only I'm like, dude, he's leaving all the kids behind. Like, I'm like, this kid's 5 years old. He's 5 years old. I'm like, he barely knows how to walk. And he's sprinting on this like icy driveway. And I'm like, I told him 100 times, Mitch, stop. Stop, dude. Like, you're going to fall. And he didn't listen because he's a boy and he's an idiot. And so, sure enough, before the end of the night was over, Mitch sprinted down the driveway, face planted, boom. I mean, face just wham, right into the driveway. Blood, he's crying. And I said at that moment to my wife, Christy, and his parents, Brian and Natalie, who are with us, I said, seriously, this true story, I said, that brings joy to my heart. And that's why God did not give me boys. That's why God gave me girls. Because that. Now, what Mitch didn't understand as a five-year-old kid and what every adult knows is that you have to know how to walk before you can run freely. And I'm going to come back to that in just a little bit. But today we're in part two of this eight-part series that we've called Follow Me. And here's the big idea of the series that we discovered last week, that Jesus didn't call us to be believers or behaviors. He invites us to be his followers. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and watch, because we made a few startling discoveries as it relates to following Jesus. The first one is that being a sinner doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's a prerequisite. I mean, every person that Jesus invited to follow him and said yes was in fact a sinner. The only people who resisted following Jesus were the ones who thought they were without sin. And what that means for you and me is that there's no sin, no addiction, no habit, no problem that puts you outside of the circle of those who have been invited to follow Jesus. And I know some of you would go, well, you don't know me. And you're right. But Jesus does, and he still has extended his invitation to you. The second one was, having doubts and unbelief doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus. I mean, nobody who followed Jesus in the first century initially believed he was the Son of God. They were all unbelievers in that regard, yet Jesus invited them to follow him anyway. And you got to know, most of them didn't believe that he was the Son of God until after his resurrection. They've been following him for 3 years by that point, which means you can follow Jesus even if you don't believe everything, because that's how faith in him grows. That's how belief in him grows. And this third startling discovery is huge, and it's this one. The invitation to follow Jesus is purely an invitation to relationship. It's not an invitation to a religious list of rules, do's, and don'ts. You know, many people, they associate the word religion with God, Jesus, and faith. But Jesus associated why he came with an entirely different word. That word is relationship. If you were to erase your memory bank of everything you know about God, Jesus, the Bible, faith, and church, and start with a blank slate, and you were to pick up the Gospels, the first four books of our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the accounts of Jesus' life, what you would discover is that it is extraordinarily relational. You would discover that Jesus came to change the religious paradigm that existed. You would discover that Jesus came to change how we think about God, how we approach God, and ultimately how we relate to God through him. Which means, if your approach to God is anything less or more than relational, you've missed something. Jesus' invitation was not and is not change. Change how you believe, change how you behave, don't, believe all the right things, behave all the right ways, change, and then you can join us. That's the message of religion and why some people, why maybe some of you have walked away from faith and walk away from the church. Jesus' invitation was, and Jesus' invitation is, come as you are. His invitation was and is, follow me, and then you will be transformed. Jesus says to you and me, I'm inviting you to belong before you believe all the right things or behave all the right ways. I'm inviting you to come as you are and follow me. But let me warn you, if you truly follow me, you will start to believe and behave differently. Not because you have to, but because your growing relationship with me will transform you. Bottom line, Jesus has invited you and me into a life-transforming relationship with him, not a cheap version of it called religion. And when we play the religion game by simply pursuing a right list of things to believe or right list of behaviors to do, we lose sight of the relationship that Jesus came for, that he died for, that he rose from the grave for. And when we lose sight of that, we don't experience being transformed into everything God's created us to be. Therefore, we miss out on the joy, the victory, the freedom, the salvation, the peace, the hope, the life that is only experienced through a growing relationship with Jesus. And the phrase that Jesus continually used to invite people into a growing relationship with him was and is, follow me. Come on, just follow me. And here's the cool thing. Jesus' invitation to follow me is an invitation for you, regardless of what you currently believe or how you currently behave. So the two questions I'm challenging you to wrestle with throughout the series is, first, have I accepted Jesus' invitation to follow me? Following Jesus starts with entering into a saving relationship with Jesus through putting our faith in Jesus, by asking Jesus to be the forgiver of our sins and declaring that we want to follow him as the leader of our lives or as our Lord. And listen, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. You need to know there is never any pressure to do that. But if today or any other week throughout the series, you feel a prompting, a stirring, a conviction, a nudging to put your faith in Jesus, I invite you to stop contemplating, stop resisting, and stop waiting, and put your faith in Jesus immediately. Because that prompting, that stirring, that nudging, I believe that's Jesus inviting you to follow me. And today I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your faith in him if you'd like to before we leave. Now, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, the question that we're wrestling with throughout the series is, am I following Jesus? Not, do I believe all the right doctrine? Not, do you behave all the right ways? Not, do you pray? Not, do you read the Bible? Not, do you know the Bible? Not, do you consistently attend on Sundays? Not, do you call yourself a Christian or call yourself a believer? I don't even know what those words mean, and you don't either. But are you currently engaged in the active process of following Jesus? Are you currently and actively following Jesus by living as a disciple of Jesus? This is the question that will transform your life, because this is the question that will grow your relationship with Jesus. To help answer this question, the question we're going to be answering today is, how does following Jesus begin and continue? How does it begin and continue? And chances are, if you were to ask 100 different people this question, hey, how does following Jesus begin and continue? You'd probably get 100 different answers. Well, by praying a special prayer, by getting baptized, by being confirmed, by faith, by being a good person, by going to church, by repentance, by confession, by obedience. Well, which one is it? Is it one of them? Is it all of them? Is it none of them? I mean, do you even know? Today, I'm going to take you to another story in the life of Jesus that illustrates better than any other how following Jesus begins and continues. And this story is actually found in two different Gospels, Matthew and Luke. But it's recorded very differently in these two documents. Matthew's version of this story is very short, and if we're being honest, seems a little bit unrealistic. If you get to the end of it and you're like, yeah, right. Well, we're going to first look at Matthew's short version found in Matthew 4, and then we're going to go to Luke's account of the same story told from a different angle. So here's Matthew's short version. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, and why? Because they were fishermen. They were uneducated, unknown, unqualified nobodies. They're just a couple of fishermen. And it was to these nobodies that Jesus extended the invitation, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. And you're reading this going, let me get this straight. One day, a random guy walks up to a couple of fishermen working and says, "Hey, leave your livelihood and follow me." And they immediately left everything to do so. Yeah, right. Well, it gets even crazier. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets because they were also fishermen helping run the family business with their dad. Jesus called them. Jesus also extended his "follow me" invitation to them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father. They left their job, left their security, left their livelihood, left their family, left their inheritance. Evidently, they left their minds and followed him. Period. And that's how the story ends. And if you're being honest, like, this doesn't seem very admirable. This honestly seems unrealistic and a little bit irresponsible. I mean, James and John go to their dad like, "Hey, Dad, see that guy over there with the sandals and the beard that looks like everybody else? Yeah, Dad, we're not really sure who he is, but seems like a really great guy. We're going to go ahead and we're going to leave you and our jobs and everything, and we're just going to go with him. Good luck with the family business. Tell Mom we're going to miss her." So you read this and you're like, well, the moral of the story is if you want to follow Jesus, if you really want to prove your love for God, you need to give up everything, your job, your family, your security, your home, your friends, and leave it all behind, because if Jesus is not the Lord of all, he is not the Lord at all. And you're thinking, well, I'll just go with not at all then, because I want to finish high school. Like, I need a job. I love my wife. Like, I admire people who have enough faith to immediately be all in, but I'm not there, so I don't think I can follow Jesus. Now, here's the good news. This is an unrealistic picture of how following Jesus begins, because it's not the whole story. I mean, that's what happened. It's just not all that happened. There's more to the story. And you know this because there's more to your story. There's more to my story. So here's Luke's account of the same story found in Luke 5, told from a different angle that fills in some of the details that Matthew left out. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, which was what some people referred to as the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him, and this is an important word, listening to the word of God. As Jesus was teaching and preaching, the crowd was listening and hearing the word of God, because Jesus was the Son of God. They just didn't know it, and they just didn't believe it yet. I mean, Luke comes along and goes, "Hey, Matthew, you left some details out of the story. Jesus was actually preaching down by the edge of the sea. He wasn't just walking down there." Now, this is important. Following Jesus, as we see here in so many other places, always begins with information, teaching, listening, observing, and learning. Following Jesus does not begin with faith big enough to leave everything. If someone tells you that following Jesus begins with blind faith, so you can't ask questions, you can't doubt, you can't investigate, you need to run. Because Jesus' invitation to follow me was always accompanied with teaching, with listening, with learning, with observing, with investigating. So here Jesus stood on the edge of the water, teaching to the crowd, and the crowd keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Jesus is getting pushed back into the water, so his feet are getting wet. He needed some type of stage to preach from. Verse 2, he, Jesus, saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So as Jesus is teaching, out of the corner of his eye, he saw two boats. And nearby, he saw the owners of those boats cleaning their nets after fishing all night. And these fishermen were intently listening to every word that came out of Jesus' mouth. Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, also called Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So as fisherman Peter was cleaning the nets, he was listening to Jesus preach from the shore. And Jesus saw that. So he took an intermission, and he walked over to Peter and said, hey, Peter. Well, he didn't know his name at that point in time. He said, hey, you fisherman guy, could I inconvenience you for just a minute? Like, the crowd's getting huge, and they can't see me, and they can't hear me. Could I borrow your boat to teach from? Now, notice what Peter didn't say. Peter didn't say, sorry, I'm busy. I don't have time. That requires more faith than I have. Ask someone else. Evidently, Peter told Jesus to jump in, and Peter rowed him out a few yards off the shore. And from there, Jesus started teaching again. And the crowd's listening. And Andrew, James, and John were there. And so's Peter, listening. Verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter. Now, in Matthew's account, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they never even heard or never listened to Jesus preach or teach anything. I mean, it was like, looked like the moment they met Jesus, it was like Jesus came over like, hey guys, my name's Jesus. Leave your livelihood fishing for fish and follow me and I will make you fisher of men. And Luke comes along and goes, yeah, that's what happened. But here's a few more details to the story. When he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So you read this and you're like, Jesus didn't invite Peter, James, John, and Andrew to follow him before they heard, before they listened to him. And Jesus didn't ask Peter to leave anything. He first asked him to take a little next step and invited Peter to take him fishing. And even though this wasn't a hard next step for Peter to take, it was definitely inconvenient for him because he just got done cleaning all of his nets. And it was a ridiculous thing to ask because fishermen fished at night when the water was cool and fish went toward the surface. Now you got to remember, at this point in time, Peter is not a follower of Christ. At this point in time, Peter is not one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He's just a fisherman. And as a fisherman, Peter had been fishing all night long when fishermen were supposed to fish, and he caught nothing. And he had cleaned and he had dried his nets and he's ready to go home. So when Jesus, a non-fisherman, asked Peter, a fisherman, to go fishing during the day, it seemed like the stupidest request to a fisherman. But here's what Peter didn't know. Peter didn't know this was an invitation. An invitation to take a next step to follow Jesus in order to grow in his trust in Jesus. Verse 5. Simon Peter answered, Master, and by the way, this is just a respectful way of like saying like Jedi rabbi guy, like Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. I mean, just imagine this scene. Jesus walks, hey, Peter, let's go fishing when you're not supposed to go. And I'm not asking you to leave your family. I'm not asking you to leave your business. I'm simply inviting you to do something you've done 1,000 times before, but to do it in a different way than you've done it before. To do it my way. And Peter's going, hey, Jesus, your sermon was great. It was a really good sermon. But you're a carpenter. You're a rabbi who doesn't know anything about fishing. And I don't know if you've noticed, but you've kind of gathered a crowd here. And when they see me going fishing in the middle of the day, they're going to think I'm crazy. And Jesus goes, I know. I know this seems ridiculous, Peter. But what do you have to lose? I'm inviting you to trust me enough to take one small next step. And if you do, you may see that there's more to me than you think there is. And in that moment, Peter had no idea what was at stake. At that moment, Peter did not believe Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior.
Which is why what he said next is so important for you, for me, for how our faith and trust and confidence in Jesus grows, for how our relationship with Jesus grows. Look what he said next. But because you say so. Not because it makes sense, not because I believe I'm going to catch anything, not because I want to, but because I've listened to you long enough to think that maybe there's more to you that I don't know, because you say so, I'm going to trust you with this one small thing, and I will let down the nets. And it's crazy to think about what hung in the balance of Peter's decision to take Jesus fishing. I mean, we know Peter today. We know Peter today as the guy who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, who walked on water with Jesus, who was the first to believe and confess that Jesus was the promised Messiah, who became one of Jesus' closest three friends, who gave a sermon that 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus through and that launched the first church in Jerusalem, who God did miraculous signs through, who was the leader of the first church. And the only reason Peter experienced any of that, the only reason we know who Peter is today, the only reason that Peter was transformed into being who we know him as today, is because in that moment, he decided, all right, Jesus, I'm going to trust you by taking this one small next step. And if he had said no, Peter would have been just another nameless, forgotten, first century Jewish fisherman whose life counted for not much. And I'm going to come back to this in just a second. But for some of you, this is exactly where you are today. Through his Spirit, Jesus has been and is inviting and prompting and stirring and nudging you to take a next step to follow him. And like Peter, you have no idea what hangs in the balance for you. For your transformation, for your faith, for your relationship with Jesus, for them, for our church, for God's glory. And here's what happened next in the story. When they had done so, you guys, not when they had believed so, not when they had thought so, not when they had good intentions to, not when they prayed so, not when they read so, but when they had done so, because doing is what makes all the difference. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Don't miss this. Only after they had taken the next step that Jesus invited them to take did they experience the power of Jesus. We all want to experience the power of Jesus, but not take the step. And it only comes after. When they had done so, and then check this out, when Peter saw this, and what we expect him to do is look at the fish and celebrate the fish, and woohoo, gonna take 4 months off, look at all those fish. But Peter reacted very, very differently than that, because in that moment, it was no longer about fish. In that moment, it was no longer about fishing. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord." Not master, not Jedi master, rabbi guy, but Lord, I am a sinful man. You guys, this is so cool. Peter had been eyeball to eyeball with the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God for hours. But it wasn't until that moment that his heart and his eyes were open and he recognized that I'm in the presence of the Lord. Listen, don't miss this. For the first time in that moment, Peter recognized that Jesus was more than just a Jewish rabbi. For the first time in that moment, Peter recognized who he himself was. And this was the beginning of Peter's life-transforming relationship with Jesus. But it did not happen until he took the next step of faith to do what Jesus invited him to do. And now Peter was ready for Jesus to say, "Follow me," verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. For now on, you will fish for people." He looks at Peter and James and John and Andrew and says, "I have greater plans for you guys, but I couldn't tell you what it was until you were willing to trust me enough to take a next step to do what you've done 1,000 times before, but this time do it in the way that I asked you to do it." And guys, listen, I've come on a mission. I've come on a mission to usher in God's kingdom. I've come on a mission to seek and save sinners, those who are lost, those who are sick. Remember, we talked about that last week. And I'm inviting you guys, you four guys, to join me. I'm inviting you into a greater purpose and a greater mission. Instead of casting your nets into the water to catch fish, I'm inviting you to follow me to fish for people. And Peter and John and James and Andrew goes, "We have no idea what that even means, but yes." And so they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. And you and I would have too, because that's what happens to people who experience Jesus' presence and power, to people whose lives intersect with God's faithfulness. And also, to which at this point we say to Matthew, "Wow, you left a lot of helpful information out of your story, Matthew." Here's the big idea. Following Jesus happens one next step at a time. Following Jesus begins and continues one next step at a time. With every next step we take to follow Jesus, our lives begin to intersect with his faithfulness, which is how our faith and our trust and our confidence in him grows. And if you've been a part of Relevant for any period of time, you hear me say 1,000 times, as trust goes, so goes the relationship. So as our trust in Jesus grows, so does our relationship with him. And the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the more he transforms us into everything God's created us to be, and the more transform we are, the more we experience God's power and presence in our life. Jesus' invitation to you and to me is, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Follow me. And how does following Jesus begin and continue? Following Jesus happens one next step at a time. What I love about this story is that in it, we see 4 different phases of following Jesus that I believe all of us are at, or at least one of the 4. Some of us are at the sit and listen phase. As we saw, following Jesus always begins with information, with teaching, with listening, with observing, with examining, with learning. As a church, this is why we are committed to practical, biblical teaching. This is why we are committed to creating environments that inspire and empower you to take next steps to follow Jesus, which means for some of you, the next step you need to take to follow Jesus is simply being committed to consistently showing up on Sundays. Middle school students to consistently showing up at Rooted. High school students to consistently showing up at Youth United, which, hey, come on, parents. By the way, parents, this phase, sit and listen, is why I'm always encouraging you to bring your children here on Sundays and get them into Sprouts and relevant kids environments, because following Jesus always begins with teaching, listening, observing, examining, learning. For others, you're at the loan him the boat phase. Jesus goes up, says, "Hey, Peter, it's getting a little crowded over here. Can I inconvenience you and borrow your boat?" This is the phase where Jesus invites us to take a next step that's a little inconvenient, which is why for some of us, why you haven't taken it yet. But you've sat and you've listened long enough. Now it's time to take the next step and loan him the boat. And that can mean many different things. Maybe it means to put your faith in Jesus, asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and lead your life. Maybe it means taking the next step to start reading the Bible. Maybe it's to forgive that person. Maybe it's to invite your reach one. Maybe it's to begin praying about that. Maybe it's to join a T-Life group. Maybe it's to sign up for Relevant 101. Maybe it's to go through Starting Point class to intentionally explore faith in Jesus and wrestle through your doubts. Maybe it's to start serving on a team. Maybe it's to get baptized to proclaim your faith in Jesus. I don't know what it is, but I know Jesus is inviting you to take a little next step to follow me. And it's time to take that next step, even if it's inconvenient for you. And come on, in order to take some of those next steps that Jesus is inviting you to take today, all you have to do is go to our app or go to our website, go to the Next Step area and simply sign up. It isn't like you need to have that big of faith. The next phase is where things get exciting. It's the take him fishing phase. Jesus is inviting some of you to do what he invited Peter to do. Hey, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing, but in a new way, in a different way. How Jesus is inviting some of you to follow him today may seem ridiculous. It may not make sense. It'll probably be uncomfortable. It might be even be a little bit scary because it will cost you something. His invitation could be financially, professionally, relationally, physically, sexually. For some of you, Jesus is saying to you, instead of doing things the way you normally do them, I'm inviting you to follow me and do them my way. And listen, I know you don't fish at noon. I know you're 35 and you're single and you don't think you can afford to be off the market. I know you've only been with that company for 1 year. I know they're your only friends. I know money is tight, but come on, let down your nets. And here's how you know if you're in this phase. You felt a prompting. You felt a stirring, a conviction, a nudging, like I ought to and I don't want to and I can't believe I'm even thinking about it. To stop. To start. To pursue, to walk away from, to go. In that situation, in that area of your life, in that struggle, in that relationship, in that decision, in that living situation, because it's not glorifying to God or in order to glorify God. And you didn't hear a voice, but you just felt like you should, you need to, you ought to change something, not change your whole life, just change that one thing. And like Peter, you have no idea what hangs in the balance of that invitation. That prompting, that's Jesus inviting you. That invitation is the epicenter of what God wants to do in your life. Jesus is inviting you to follow me. Follow me. And his invitation to you, it's not about fish. It's not about him. It's not about her. It's not about the job. It's not about the money. He's inviting you to take one next step of faith so that your life can intersect with his faithfulness, so that like Peter, you can recognize and trust him more as Lord. For most of you, I don't have to tell you how he's inviting you to take him fishing because you already know. You've already felt it. You've just pushed it off. You've justified. You've made excuses. And your next step is to say, because you say so, because you say so, I will let down my nets. And then there's some of us who are at the, or who need to be at the, leave your nets phase. You've listened long enough. You've taken enough little next steps. You've seen enough of his faithfulness. You've experienced enough of him to know him and trust him as Lord. And now it's time to open your hands and say, I'm all yours. I'm done playing games. Like, you can have this and not that. You can't have that, but you can have this right here. Everything I have is yours. Everything I am is yours. And I want your will in every area of my life. I surrender my whole life to you. I will follow you as the leader of my life, as my Lord, wholly and fully. Listen, the point of all this is not to grade yourself on some continuum. The question we're wrestling with is, am I following Jesus? Am I following Jesus currently? Am I following Jesus actively? Well, following Jesus happens one next step at a time, because action makes all the difference in terms of following. So here's my question for you. What's your next step? What is your next step? Because if you want to follow Jesus currently and actively, I guarantee there's a next step. You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament book of Isaiah that many people use as bumper sticker inspiration for God to magically show up in their lives. But if you read it closely, you'll notice there's nothing magical about it. There's nothing accidental about it. You'll notice that it requires active, continual next steps. Here's the passage. It's in Isaiah 40. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Right, Mitch? Yep. Full circle right there. That's called good preaching, people. Start with it, end with it. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, will experience God's presence and power in their lives. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the bottom line is this: you gotta walk before you can run, and you gotta run before you can soar. And walking, taking the next step that Jesus is inviting you to take to follow him today, is how we hope in the Lord. And that's when our lives intersect with his faithfulness. That's when our faith and trust and confidence in him grows. That's when our relationship with him grows. That's when he transforms us more into everything he's created us to be. That's when we experience his power and presence in our lives. That's when we soar on wings like eagles. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I prayed it last week, and I'm praying it again just because I'm humbled and I know I don't deserve it. I'm just so grateful that you invited me and so many of us to follow you, Jesus. That you came for us, that you died on the cross for our sins, that you rose from the grave to provide eternal life. And then invited me, someone who didn't deserve that, to follow you. Thank you. I pray that those of us who have put our faith in you, Jesus, and declared that you truly are our Lord, pray whatever next step you're inviting us to take, you help us recognize it, and that we choose to take the next step to follow you. Through it, do the transforming work you want to do. Through it, I pray that our lives intersect with your faithfulness, but mostly I pray that you're glorified through it. Lord, for every person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, and right now they feel that prompting and that stirring and that conviction and that ought to, I pray that right now, where they're at, either in this room or as their home sitting on the couch, right now quietly, they choose to pray, that they choose to put their faith in you, Jesus. That right now quietly, they choose to confess their need for a Savior because they know their violation of sin against you broke their relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And in this moment, they declare, Jesus, that you are the Savior of the world. Your death and resurrection was sufficient for the payment of their sin. And right now, I pray that they ask you to be their Savior, that they put their faith in you and ask you to be the forgiver of their sins, and they declare they want to follow you as the leader of their lives, as their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.